I thank you for your word. Because of it, I am who you said I am. I have what you said I have, and I can do what you said I can do. Lord, by your word and through your Holy Spirit, I'm anointed to hear words that bring wisdom, understanding, insight, revelation, and transformation for my spirit, my soul, my body, and my circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, bless the Lord. Thank God for you. And I look forward to sharing the word with you. God put in my heart. It's always exciting to me when the Lord gives me these messages. I don't take it for granted that sometimes I'm not sure what he wants to say through me. But he's always faithful through prayer, and he gives the word. So today, we're going to teach about empowered to empower others. Say empowered. To empower others. Amen. Now I'm going to ask those who are outside who are not part of VBS to come on in. Amen. Have a seat. All right. Acts chapter 10. Turn there if you would, please. I want to begin in Acts chapter 10. And, we shared a couple of messages last 2 weeks. One about how to encourage yourself in the Lord. Talk about how to delight in the Lord. Those are, I think, very encouraging messages, so you can get those. I will make this announcement. We're going to actually stop creating CDs every week for two reasons. One, CDs are kind of going by the wayside, really, truly, but we'll have CDs for special services, and we'll do special, we'll make CDs up like for the Dave Burrows meetings coming up. We'll do it sometimes, but I encourage you to go online. All the messages now are available for free at the church website. You can go there and listen to them on the website, or you can go get our podcast. The podcast is available to your iPhone, your Android, any computer. You can download for free the messages and listen online as well. All right? So, Acts 10. Let's begin here today. Again, our topic is empowered to empower others. Acts 10, verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." The word that God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism, which John preached. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are his witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree, whom God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Somebody say empowered. Empowered. Now, Jesus was empowered. The text says plainly that he received, verse 38, God anointed him or empowered him with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Now, I want today to get us to see a picture of what Jesus did for us, and that what he did for us wasn't meant to end with us. What he put in us, the power and salvation he gave us, it wasn't supposed to reside in us and stay there forever. It was supposed to come through us. The power, the salvation, the grace of God were designed to come to us and then go through us to other people. Now, this thing of empowerment, we're doing a workshop in a couple of weeks. And in the March of this year, I stood here and I shared with you that on the previous week, the Lord put in my heart to have a series of workshops. And he gave me the name, empowerment. Single word, empowerment. And because we know that all of us here have been young people, that's an obvious statement. But how many can say to you that there were people in your life, from parents on through to coaches and teachers, who have had not been for their encouragement, for their teaching and training, you would not be where you are today. Amen, somebody? But then we also know of people who haven't had the benefit of having someone to empower them. Well, Jesus gives us the model. He's the one that began this whole thing. I love the phrase when it says how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. Watch this. Who went about doing good. Say doing good. Now, listen, Jesus Christ did not only save people and cast out devils and feed. That's all great. But he also did good. He just did good things for people. He did things. And so Jesus, now all the Bible, you know, the Bible didn't say everything he did. In fact, the one verse says, if all the things he said and did were written, all the books couldn't contain them. But it tells me that even having a workshop for young people fits in this thing of doing good. And also it fits into the spirit of that the anointing that we have, the grace we have, what's been given to us by God has been given to us for purpose. Say purpose. Now, he said here in the text, doing good, healing all who are oppressed by the devil. A lot of oppression is going on today. Now, the devil doesn't show up. We think the devil, well, the cartoons show us the devil as his pointy-eared, red creature. But the Bible says he's an angel of light. He actually looks good. He actually is kind of cute sometimes to some people. But what he does is very evil. My point is, there's oppression going on, and folk don't even recognize it. They're being oppressed. We know it because when persons are oppressed, that means they're pushed down, pressed down, and they do not have the sense to seek God, to call upon the Lord. Sometimes oppression is so bad that people go to places of hurting other people. That kid who went into that church and shot those people up in there, he was oppressed by the devil. No doubt about it. Obviously so. So that our mission and our purpose reflects what Jesus did, that just as he's called, he was appointed or anointed or empowered to go about doing good, and so are we. Now, this word empower, you know, listen, God thought about us long before we thought about him. There's a Bible verse that says that even while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. And so there's always people, God in people is thinking about us before you thought about God or thought about your own life. And the spirit of being empowered is this: everything that empowers you came from the heart of God and other people. Empowerment was coming to you before you realized it. Now, for example, the Vacation Bible School concludes today. But that's been in our hearts and minds, you know, this specific year for many months. The planning has been going into it. There's been preparation for it. So before any children showed up, before any parents brought children, we were already thinking about them. See, so everything that empowers you came from the heart of God and from other people, and it was coming to you before you realized it. So think about this. Think about this, that whatever you need now, whatever you're lacking now, whatever God has planned for you, is all the process has already begun. It's already on the way to you. Somebody already thinking about you, and God most of all, that God is putting in place blessings and programs and meetings and messages. I mean, God's putting things in place for you. So empowerment, it has to happen. In other words, empowerment isn't what's happening in the moment you realize it. It's already been happening before you came to it, into it. The root of the word empower is the word power, right? Power. Empower. Well, power is the ability to act or do something. It's capability of doing something or accomplishing something. So all of us have power. For example, if whatever your profession is, whatever your work is, then you have power, whether to be a nurse, educator, administrator. I mean, you're actually showing your ability and capability every day. But your power to do those things, it came from somewhere, right? You weren't born with it. You had the talent, you had the basis for it. But hear me, that you had to be empowered. Say empowered. So power has to be gained and learned and imparted and received from God and from other people. So this word M, the prefix E-M, before the word power, just simply means, it means to into, within, inside. So the idea is quite simple. Empower means put power in people, right? Get the power from the outside to the inside, because the power and ability is available to people, but it lies outside of them. Everything we need in life is already present, but it's outside of you until God and people put it inside of you. Amen, church? Someone has to empower or move that power and ability from outside of people to inside of people. And that's the whole purpose of child training. That's the whole purpose of education. The whole thing with raising children is, you know, to empower them, to take all these opportunities and abilities that lie outside of them and that to transfer that to them. Now, you know, all of us have innate abilities. All of us have, we say, talent. But yet, how many people know that there are people who have raw talent but do nothing with it? We've all have friends you grew up with. And you look around and think, man, what happened to Bob? What happened to Sally? You know, and all that happened for most of those of our friends who didn't come through is that the power, the ability, what was around them never got inside of them. Or on the other side of it, it may have been that rather than be empowered, they were surrounded by people and forces that put the wrong things inside of them. So that the fact is something is coming inside of people. People are getting a hold of something. People are getting, something is coming inside of it, of them. What we want to see happen is the power of God. Now, also, let me share this with you. So we have the word power. We have empower. So the power is outside. The power is the ability. The power is the what's available. The empower. Empowers to put it inside. But empowerment, another word, empowerment, this word means this. It is the process of helping others obtain opportunities, develop skills, and gain self-sufficiency. That's the phrase I'm using for the workshops that we're going to host. And that's the phrase that captured my mind right there, because empower is a moment. I mean, I could offer someone advice. I could, in a moment of time, sit down with somebody and give them some insight. I could train them one time. That would be empower. But then I talk to them once and that's it. What folk need is empowerment. They need a process. Say process. It's a process of helping others obtain. So then we think about school. Best example I can think of. That we don't go to school for a day, a week. We don't go to school for 1 month, a year, right? I think the mandate is 180 days, right, of regular school. 180 days. They want kids in school that many days. Because, you know, unless there's a process, then, you know, we can't get the power inside of people. If the people aren't with us consistently and that we're not organized and have a plan in place to put in people what they need on a regular basis. So then empowerment is what we're after now. We want to engage people, not just one time, but to continue to engage them. And even in your personal life, you know, you don't pray once a week, do you? Amen? I mean, this altar prayer wasn't the first time you prayed this week, was it? No, of course not. We pray every day. Pray every day. Amen? We pray every day. Why we pray every day? Because we need to get what's on the outside, on the inside of us. More than that, we just love God. I actually like God. I love him and I like it. And so when you want to be with somebody, when you want to be with God, then you put yourself in place where the process, whatever God has in mind for you, he has the opportunity to bring it forth. When I taught at the Bible school or at the Bible college, you know, 16 weeks, was a semester, and we had the syllabus, and the syllabus already had in place everything I wanted to teach and get over to those young students or the students was already in my mind, and God gave me the plan. We had a curriculum laid out. And so that it's as if, again, the principle is, again, whatever empowers you came from God and from people. Whatever empowers you was already being put in place before you realized it. So the students took the class. They were in class. We had them. I had them for 4 hours. It was a 3-hour class, which means you do, you know, you see them 3 hours a week at least. But it's also other work besides that. The point is, so in the first week, I taught a course on new media for ministry. In the first week, most students knew nothing about how to do media and how to, you know, have the skills we're going to impart to them. Matter of fact, one of the first exercises we had was I had them to write a statement, what you think media is, what media ministry is, to write it down, just what you think it is. And then we're going to revise that statement at the end of this course. And by the end of the course, by week 16, they had a whole new understanding, right, of what media ministry was. The point is that a class, a course, you know, church services week by week, all that we're doing here, the devotional books we put out, all that we put out, that's not one time. It's to empower you. It's empowerment. It's a process. Say process. And this is where Christians fall down, is that we are not in a process. We're just kind of jumping up, do church this week and read a little Bible, you know. And so for a lack of process, we don't see disciples being made, you know. Jesus could have not have made disciples with guys he didn't see every day, amen, on a regular basis. So if we don't avail ourselves to prayer, to the Word of God, to the program we offer in the church, different things like that, we cannot see the benefit of being empowered. All right. Now, we want this power then to be inside of people. It's all around them. The potential, the possibilities are all there. We want to get people from possibility to reality. Amen, church? Now, let's look at this. Let me give you some words to think about here. Because, again, there are people who want to put things in you. There are folks who want to pull things out of you. Here's some synonyms for the word empower, words that are like the word empower. Think about these words now. And think of the people in your life and experiences in your life, the things you do, the things you're involved with. See if this lines up. Authorize, enable, grant, legitimize, permit, vest, accredit, capacitate. You know, funny, we always use the word incapacitate, but there's a word called capacitate. He's incapacitated. Well, how about let's flip it. Let's do some capacitating. Let's just help people. Get them up. Charge, commission, delegate, invest, license, qualify, sanction, warrant. Again, words that say that these are effects where somebody is putting power in you. Somebody is believing in you, trusting you, giving you opportunity, authorizing you. And so when you're empowered, you can step into your greater purpose. You can do great things. Now, other side of it is antonyms are words opposite to empower. These words include deny, disallow, disapprove, refuse, reject, veto, disenfranchise. And these words also describe the problem we see when people are not empowered, when either they haven't availed themselves of the opportunity, or what's more the case, nobody's thinking about people. Sometimes parents are not truly empowering their children. Like, well, I feed them, I put some food on the table. Well, that's a good thing, but it's more to empowering a child than feeding and putting clothes on his back. Amen, somebody? I mean, empowerment is to show, to take the power that's around him and her and put the power in them. Education, for, I mean, obviously, if a child's in school, the only point to being in school is to learn, right? And so if you're in school, your interest ought to be A's and B's. If you're struggling real bad, you might get a C. Amen? If you're no good at the course, the worst you'll get is a C. Because a C at least says you tried. You know, some of us, you know, now there's some mathematicians among us, but not many. Come on, somebody. And so that with math, I struggled, but I never got worse than the C, unless I just didn't try. But understand the point that the only purpose for being in school, all this power is around you. All the ability, the knowledge, it's all around you. It's in those teachers. It's in those books. It's in the lab. It's in the instruments. It's in the exercise and the, all the curriculum. But then if the parents do not come behind or go ahead of and say, hey, you know, did you study today? I mean, we can't leave education just to the schools, right? So my point is, a lack of empowering children sometimes means that parents are not on top of the educational experience the kids are receiving. They are not holding the kids accountable or the teacher accountable. They are not sometime, you know, sitting down and making them turn that TV off, get off of Facebook. Come on, somebody. Coming off the street, get off the phone, because we have to get inside of you what is all around you. Think about this. Going to school, you know, grade school, high school, all those years, walking those halls, being in the classrooms, you know, I mean, actually on the campus, in the classes, and get through all that and come out of 11th, 12th grade and can hardly read. I'm not talking about dyslexia now. I'm talking about just normal folk who come away and can't read, can't compute, not because the education wasn't around them. It didn't get inside of them. Now, listen, these are things that are obvious. I'm saying everything obvious this morning. I mean, I missed the obvious this morning, amen. Say amen anyway. I missed the obvious this morning. But obvious is important because it reinforces what we already know, but maybe you're not doing. So when you reflect on it, there were and will be pivotal moments and processes in life that empower you. These moments come from parents, teachers, preachers, public servants, mentors, employers, and coaches. Matter of fact, these folk right here, a list of people, I think these people right here, I just named you, I name them again, these people are the most empowering people in your life, right here. Parents, teachers, preachers, public servants, mentors, employers, coaches. And people who do that. Now, maybe you're not a professional in on these areas, but you do mentoring. You teach. I mean, you're not in the job of doing this, but I'm saying you do it, right? You follow me? So that these moments, this empowerment come from people, specifically God, but people who in fact dedicate their lives to empowering other people. There are people who care as much about you as they care about themselves. I'm one of those people, okay? And a lot of people like that, but a lot of people are not like that. A lot of folk do not care about you. But that's all right. That's the world we live in. The thing is, to be empowered, that's going to come from people who are thinking about you before you realize it. And so that these pivotal moments when maybe a teacher brings a lesson a certain way, you get a hold of something, hadn't seen that way before, never considered it before. You discover abilities in yourself because a coach requires you to go the extra mile. You know, it often comes down to somebody around you who says, I see more in you than you are showing me. You know what I'm saying? And I need to see more from you. You need to step into what you clearly have. And that's what empowerment is about. It's about putting the power, the ability in people. Now, of course, they must be willing. Now, again, we have to come back to this. There's the empowerment side, but there's the side of it where people have not been empowered. And this is where schools and teachers do a lot of this, where sometimes almost a surrogate parenting going on. Sometimes it's almost as if, you know, mentors and the people I listed are not the parents, but there's almost a parental role I have in someone, a secondary parenting role where you know you're not the parent. You know that. But yet you do feel that I got to say something as if I was a parent. Amen? That's an important point right there. That even though I'm not the parent, I'm not the guardian, I'm not the, you know, the father, the mother, I feel that I need to, as a responsible, as a caring adult, as an empowering adult, I need to say these things to you and to show you and to model you and hope you get you and get you into a process, over into a process to help you. Amen to that. All right. Now, how do we become empowered? How does it happen? Well, it happens many ways. Let me give you some thoughts here. There's more than this little list I got, but I'll start here. Now, back to our text, again, the Bible says that in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus, or empowered him, if you will, with the Holy Spirit and power. Well, we must begin with God. Begin with God. So our first point is that to become empowered, we need to have training in understanding and wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, look at that. It's also on the screen there. Verse 2 says, to know wisdom and instruction. Verse 1 says, basically, the purpose of Proverbs. Then verse 2 says, to know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. Now, I could camp out and teach this because, you know, there's so much there to say. I can't for time's sake, but let me just give you this much right here. Think about the phrase, to perceive the words of understanding. You know, one of the most important abilities and powers in your life is to perceive when something's being said that is helpful to you. To perceive the words of understanding, right? Because so much is being said, and let's face it, y'all, a lot of it is garbage. Garbage, if you will. A lot of stuff you hear, and one brother said, don't amount to a hill of beans in a 40-acre field. A lot of stuff, I would say most of the things you hear and see are just worthless. I mean, in terms of your development, empowerment. So then, but it's almost as if that part of the problem is there's so much being said that's disingenuous, downright false, until people start tuning everything out. Right? But then the Bible says that, no, we want to perceive the words of understanding. But that's a tremendous ability right there. In the midst of all the noise and all the clutter, all the madness, that you have the ability to perceive, wow, now this right here is, I need to listen to this right here. Take all this in. This is empowerment coming to me. Again, the point is empowerment is always coming toward you. Empowerment is always on the way, right? Well, things that are on the way are going to get to you eventually, right? But when they show up, will you perceive them? Thomas Edison said that most people miss opportunity because it is wearing overalls and looks like work. So they miss it because it looked like work. I got to work at that. That's an opportunity. I got to actually do something about that. Yep. So then, but to perceive. All right. He says to perceive the instruction, to perceive, receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give prudence to the simple. Prudence is that ability, you know, to kind of know what to avoid, what to get into. Prudence. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. Verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning. That's empowerment right there. You catch that? A wise person will do what? Hear. And increase learning. Boom. Empowerment. Right there. Empowerment. He says, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Meaning that you'll seek out the sources of wisdom. So then this is one way that we become empowered, is what the Proverbs said, and empower others. Number two, by receiving the Holy Spirit. That could have been number one. These are all not in order of sequence or importance, but look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. Let me ask you this question. In the book of Acts, in the upper room, in that era, that time and space, did the power just suddenly show up when they received it? Or was there power before they received it? Was there power before they received it? Amen. God's always had power. The problem is the people weren't in position to receive it until Jesus came. Now watch this. He says, the Holy Spirit. So then the power is the Holy Spirit that brings the power to your life. The power of God. And power is what? Ability, right? Now, power is not just shaking and quaking, speaking in tongues. Those are manifestations. But the actual power in you is grace, and it's love, and it's motivation, and it's the will to live right and do good. Amen? That's the power. He says, you shall be my witnesses. You're going to tell other people about me. So when you have this power, you don't want to keep it to yourself. Because this power, it wasn't designed just for you to hold, but designed for you to give. Is that true? So the Holy Spirit empowers us. Next is the call of God. Look at Acts 26. Now, the previous verse to 16 here, Paul had an encounter on the Damascus Road, the famous story. Many of us know about the story. Paul, who had been a hater and a persecutor, he had a confrontation with Jesus Christ. And so Paul had enough sense. Well, he couldn't help himself. Actually, God knocked him off. He was blind. So, you know, I mean, God does things sometimes in interesting ways. But this power came. Paul, he fell off his horse. But then he said this, verse 16, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. Now, this is what Jesus does for many people, those who are preachers especially, but all of us should have encounters like this where Jesus appears to you, not so much the way he did to Paul, but the Lord comes to you in some very specific way at points in time in your life. And this what happened to Paul happens to you. This happened to me. And he says, I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness of both the things which you have seen and of the things which I shall yet reveal to you. It's called the call of God. Say, call of God. Now, everybody should be called of God one way or another. Hear me now. Not only the preacher should be called of God, you should be called, have a sense of calling to whatever you do for Jesus Christ. Because if there's not a sense of calling, all that's left is what you feel, what you want, what you like, your appetites, you know, things like that. But when you have a call of God, that call of God brings a certain order to your life. It brings a certain focus and a mandate to your life. And so here's what he said to him. Verse 17, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. This sounds like it's a contradiction. You're going to deliver me from people and then send me back to people? Yep. This is important, y'all. You got to get delivered from people. You got to get free from people before you can help people. The sense of it is that, you know, you can't help Johnny. I'll just be real with you. You can't get Johnny to stop drinking if you're drinking with him. Come on, somebody. You can't get Johnny out the club if you're down in the club with him. Come on. So you got to get delivered from Johnny and them. You know, them, right? And them. Delivered from the, not just the evils of people, but listen to me, the mediocrity of people. Just the average do-nothingness. A lot of people are into today. Delivered from that, from the evils, and yet from the mediocrities, from just the wasted potential of people. Get delivered from all that stuff and then go back to people empowered by God. So you get away from folks, not get away like away, you know, physically, but you get away from the tendencies of people so God can empower you, give you something. Then you go back to people with what God has given you. You got that? It's as simple as that. And he says, verse 18, to open their eyes, to in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Isn't that something? Listen now, Jesus is not saying, Paul, I'm going to do this stuff. No, you're going to do this stuff. You are going to open their eyes. Now, of course, it's by the power of God. Everything is by the grace of God, right? But we are laborers together with God. And sometimes we would rather say, Lord, hey, Lord, you do it. I'll sit over here and you go do it. No, God's like, you go over there and you do it and I'll be with you. So the instruction was to Paul, open their eyes, turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they can receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's the call of God. Now, the way God called me is different than that, but it's the same model. It's the same pattern. And so the things I do as a pastor, as a teacher, and a writer, producer, and then, you know, of course, into being a father and a husband, all that I take it very seriously. I take it as a call of God. So much so that I deny myself. I could have a lot more things if I didn't go this way in life. I'd be a multimillionaire, actually, where I'd be. But I don't regret any of that. I've chosen to be a servant of God. I've set aside things I could have easily had, or not easily had, but could have had, because it's not that God that hadn't blessed me, I don't have stuff, but I'm not focused on gaining stuff, right? I'm not just trying to make money off people. I'm not trying to get stuff from people. I'm trying to put stuff into people. And think about it, y'all. You know, if folks are only into extracting from people, it's hard for you, it's impossible to empower people if all we see is what can I get out of people. The empowering person has to sacrifice a lot of self in order to bring to people what God has for them to bring. Amen, somebody? And Paul again gave us an example. So the call of God is a way we're empowered. Next, in fact, finally, for this list, is laying on of hands. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. A lot of these things we're talking here today are kind of lost on the church today. The church is by and large in entertainment mode. By and large, it is entertainment mode, circus mode. But 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, this is what Paul said to Timothy, encouraging him. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it is in you also. So Paul knew Timothy's family. He knew a little bit about what his family was about. He says, verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through laying on of hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Look at verse 6 again. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you. Say, stir up the gift.
Stir up the gift.
Sometimes you go to a restaurant, some of these little buffet places, and you go up and check out what's on the line and look at the soup. And sometimes that soup didn't look too good. That soup looked kind of watery to me. But sometimes all you got to do is stir it up, right? And when you stir it up, oh, okay, it's full of good food in there. So the ideal is sometimes we need somebody to pray for us. We need prayer. We need laying on of hands to stir up the gift of God. Is that true? And really, Paul is also saying, really more to the point, really to remind yourself of the gift that came to you. Yeah, let me correct my statement. It's not that laying on of hands is needed to stir it up. Laying on of hands was the way you received it in the first place. What he's saying is, you received it, now remind yourself you have it. Stir yourself up. There it is, stir yourself up. Now we pray for each other. He said, but stir up the gift of God. And the implied phrase, verse 7 is, I remind you to stir up the gift. Amen? So, in other words, my job up here is not to stir you up. My job is to tell you to do what? Stir yourself. Because, you know, preachers and different ones can't be around you. Tomorrow morning, you by yourself tomorrow morning. You and your husband and wife, or you by yourself, and it's going to be you tomorrow. So if you don't get stirred up tomorrow, somebody put a tape on or put a MP3 on. But ultimately, we need to say, Lord, I stir myself. I remind myself that I have received. You have already put power around me. You've even put power in me. Now, Lord, I've got to get up and move in it. You know, these articles I write that I send out once a week or so, that go out in email and go on my blog, and I've done lots of these, and I've done books and such. And what you don't know about that is, it's funny, because I know people not reading it, by and large. It don't get read, not by and large. I know that. But that's not the reason I write or don't write. It's out of obedience. Now, people do read it now. I mean, be positive about it. But I know for a fact, a lot of folks don't read my stuff, okay? Members don't. All right, my own family don't read this stuff. But the point is, if you let that factor into what you do or don't do, you'll find yourself in serious disobedience to God. Because God isn't asking you to empower people based on how they receive it. Or if they receive it. The fact is, somebody's going to receive it. And every month or so, I'll get some email back saying, that blessed me. Thank you for writing that. Every now and then it comes. Now, I know it blesses people who do get it, who never say so. But you cannot be in the business of doing stuff and then stop doing stuff if folk don't say, it blessed me. That's not maturity. Maturity is you do what God said, do regardless of what people say. Don't say, because God's always watching. Amen. But here's the point I'm making to you. So the empowerment that we have received, we've been empowered to empower others. And that is nothing more or less than a decision that you make based on what God has put in your heart. So whatever kind of ministry you're into, whatever type of service you're into, we got people. But Dad yesterday went to Willow Mission. And he couldn't be, Willow Mission, he couldn't be somewhere with us yesterday. He was at Willow Mission empowering guys. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, he does it every month, unless there's a reason why he cannot do it. And we don't get to always say it or celebrate it. We got people going to juvenile center, people doing all kinds of things that you get to a point where you don't do stuff anymore for somebody to say you did it. And people who are empowering other people, thank God for those folk, because if the empowering people in your life only did what they did based on what we gave them back as encouragement, they would stop doing stuff. So the deal is, we want to now follow our Lord Jesus Christ's example. So the Bible says, again, first verse, please, back to Acts chapter 10. He said again how God anointed Jesus. Let's make this personal. Say how God anointed, say your name. Say how God anointed Brian. What's your name? Say how God anointed, say your name. Everybody do it. How God anointed. All right. With the Holy Spirit and power. You have been anointed by God. You've been empowered. God has, you know, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, I promise you, he has often come to you and has blessed you and has encouraged you in things, reminded you of things. So it says there that with the Holy Spirit of power, who went about doing good. That's the part I must ask you now. You've been empowered. You've been anointed. Think in your mind right now, what are you doing good that comes out? How are you empowering others, that's doing good, to do good is to empower others, from the empowerment you have received, the anointing, the call of God, however God did it, what are you doing to empower others? That covers the category of, under the category of doing good. Because ultimately, church, people of God, we're ambassadors for Christ. We come to be blessed. We are blessed. But at some point, we turn around and become a blessing to other people. Abraham, the Bible says Abraham, God came to him back in Genesis. That's how I appeared to you. He says, and through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's an amazing promise. But it came to Abraham not directly as much as his offspring and their offspring, you know, owned through Christ, who is the, you know, the ultimate offspring, that through him, God kept the promise. You don't know the people you're affecting and impacting in a good way. You don't know what they'll end up doing. You have no idea. So you can't base your effectiveness on the scale and size of your work. You base it on your obedience to God's call. Amen, church? Well, let's all stand. Stop right there. Thank God for you. Appreciate you so much. Just want to get this word over to you. Empowered to empower others. And as you're there reflecting on that, let's pray and take this to God in prayer. Lord, thank you now that you've given us a word in season. Thank you, Father God, that as Jesus gave us the example, we can see that because we're part of him, this also speaks to us. How God anointed us, me, we take it personal with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, even healing those who are oppressed of the devil.